Hi, I'm Dr. John Lakey.
And I'm Dr. Payman Danielport. We're board-certified plastic surgeons and hosts of the podcast Forever Young.
Join us every Tuesday as we share the latest products and procedures in the never-ending quest to help our patients look and feel their very best.
The world of cosmetic surgery is constantly improving. Join us on the cutting edge. Forever Young is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Help Me Be Me. I'm your host, Sarah Mae Bates. I'm a writer, director, mom, and a breakup coach with an MAMFT. And this podcast is kind of like a personal relationship in that I talk to you like you're my friend. I provide tools to help you feel more grounded, empowered, inspired, and most of all, help you see yourself. This is aimed at creating more harmony and happiness in the relationship you have with you, so you can better guide your life and also be better to those you love. Take what helps and leave the rest. This is not a diagnosis for treatment. If you're really struggling, call your local emergency services. Hi friends, this is Sarah Mae Bates for Help Me Be Me, and this is an episode about redefining yourself and shedding older selves. This episode has exercises to help you see where you are headed and also mark the change you have made over the last year. It's also for examining your actions as a means to map out your internal allegiances. And that is because I think a lot of the time we can't see how we truly feel because we are just so indoctrinated into our routine and or we get really blinded by peaks and valleys in our emotions. So know that we are always growing, we are all maturing, we are becoming different people, but sometimes we can't see that change or those around us cannot see it. And so this is really in service of redefining yourself to yourself and owning the place you are now and being able to witness yourself anew, because your actions will tell you exactly your truth. They will show you what you believe, what you are working on, and what you feel about yourself. So this is really about taking stock and witnessing what you are deciding with your actions today. And that is the key. It's not about what we say. It's not about what we fear or feel in the moment. It's really about what we are doing with our physical bodies. So I guess net, this is about awareness. It's like you on you, but it is also about possibly seeing what is not true, that we think is true, that other people are maybe impressing upon us with their beliefs. A lot of what I'm going to talk about is kind of related to systems theory, which is a theory of therapy, I guess. And it's really about this idea of how families work in systems. And we kind of create our own homeostasis and we reset it. Just because everybody's trying to balance the system. So if one person has a certain set of emotions that are too much for that system, other people will vent it for them. It's like things are kind of being passed through one another constantly. So for example, like how kids vent anger for a parent when parents are incapable of expressing that anger. It's like that's something called triangulation. The reason I brought that up is because I think in a lot of situations, we have a feeling about ourselves and that is reinforced by those around us unconsciously. And so it can be hard to break out of a belief, even if we have grown and we are growing out of something. Sometimes other people will kind of push that back onto us and we will be kind of forced back into an old rhythm. So this is really about breaking out of those types of things, those types of loops, and then also foreseeing where we are headed and really knowing when you are a new person and being able to see yourself as such. Because I think we can gather, you know, really important lessons and tools from old selves, and they help us to survive. They help us to grow kind of superpowers. But at a certain point, we grow out of those things because we no longer need them. We become stronger, we become more capable. And I think it's sometimes hard to recognize and really believe we are growing and we are better people and we are stronger. If you are a person that does not know exactly how you feel, like if you are curious about where you stand with yourself or with somebody else, with a relationship, your opinion on certain issues in your life, I think that looking at our actions, like examining our actions, are actually a really helpful way to intuit our internal state. Not our words. Like, we say a lot of things, but our actions are the most true way to tell how we feel. So if you are confused about a particular subject in your life, or a relationship, a great way to figure it out is just look at what your actions have shown you over the last year. It can really illuminate truth, just your commitment or possible ambivalence. So the goal for me, for you, coming out of this episode, is that you feel as if you are given a new awareness of yourself, and one that is positive and clear and empowered. And in this episode, there are three parts: the what, the why, and the how, the tools. Part one, the what. Before I go into this what, I just want us to all conceive of the idea that change is possible for us. Can you see this as true? And acknowledge that as true? I think it's really easy to believe that we are not capable of change, or that we are not changing, but it is happening all the time, and it is happening right at this very minute, very slowly. And sometimes it's happening in just like the slowest of head turns in a new direction, but you are, know that you are absolutely a graph that's headed in an upward direction. And know that knowledge, you can't unknow knowledge. And once we have it, it is ours forever. So that is just one thing I wanted to start this off with, because you can hold tight to the fact that you are changing. And it all comes down to what you want for yourself. And it's important to focus on the exact kind of change you want to make. Don't let go of that dream, no matter what it is. Even if you can't see a solution and it feels scary and daunting, your job is not to control how change will happen. So if you can't see the path yet, it's just because it hasn't arrived. So the what? Growing into a new person, seeing yourself that way. Your actions tell you where your heart lies. And so if you are hearing yourself say things for the first time, just in a different, like if things coming out of your mouth are just more honest, take note. Because we show ourselves where we stand. We demonstrate it to ourselves with our behavior. And sometimes the brain hasn't caught up yet. Like, your brain might not believe you just yet, or believe things are different just yet, or some part of ourselves might not be ready to accept something about who we are. If your actions are currently betraying you, you can take that as an invitation. Things that hurt us that we do, they are also a map for targeting self-work. I think one of the most powerful ways to start self-work is to see one thing that is hurting. It's like, I don't like this thing that I do, and I don't know how to stop the thing that I do. So much of self-work is just aligning our actions with our actual values and what will make us happy. Because once we can do that, it's like we're making a straight line. We're walking with our entire body toward the thing we want. If you are baffled by your actions, I would just start by describing what hurts in your life and see what is that you wish was different. That is just the way to start creating effective goals. I wanted to call out the major role that alignment has in happiness, just being able to walk the walk of what we believe deep down. And if we are not walking that straight line with our actions and our values, it could be because some part of us is unknowingly punishing ourselves. Like, some part of us believes we don't deserve happiness. A lot of that time, it's like completely subconscious. You might not even know you have that belief that we don't deserve to be happy. Or we might be creating a sense of control over self-destructive behaviors that we don't understand the roots of. So if that's ringing any bells, if that feels like it has a little bit of friction or texture or hotness to the touch, I invite you to dig further into that. Another huge factor behind being unable to break out of a certain role in your own mind or create the change that you want to make is projection. A lot of the time when something that we have done in a past life or in an old self has traumatized people in our family or in our system, as I called it, like a partner or parents, for example, those people will constantly reset you to that role via their projection. And this is really, really powerful. Even though it's somebody outside of you, it can be something that they force upon you so that you have to resume the old dance or the old behavior just because they're trying to engage you in a certain rhythm. And so even if you have grown out of that thing or you no longer are that person, they will continually reinforce it with how they treat you or the words that they say to you or the fights that they initiate. And when one person or two people are dancing a certain dance, it's really hard for the other person not to resume the old rhythm as well. I remember this when I was younger. It was really hard for me to break out of this like black sheep role because I was constantly being redirected into it, even though I was no longer that person. So if that's happening to you, take heart, know that it's not forever, and it's also likely not conscious on the part of the other people. I think it's going to require time for other people to just be able to see the difference between their perceptions and reality. And a lot of the time it takes like a major milestone to reset that perception, like, you know, a birth, a death, something that like everything has changed. That's when most people have the greatest opportunity to change their awareness. But outside of that, the most important thing for you is to recognize that that is happening and not fall into the old pattern. It's like we really have to rise above people just kind of wanting us to resume this old role. We have to step back from that dance. Because if somebody's trying to salsa with you and you stop doing the salsa, it's like they can't keep going with you, you know? That is a symptom of whatever your old system with them was. And they're just kind of trying to reset the climate. And oftentimes what that is a position where they had control over you or they had some feeling of superiority. That's like where people want to keep telling you like, no, 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 you're supposed to be down here. So it's like it's kind of an addictive stance to have on the part of the other person. I don't think it's intentional. It doesn't make it any less sucky, but I just wanted you to be aware of that. Which brings me to part two, the why. Well, I mean, I'm talking about change in this whole episode. We are developing and evolving all the time as we move through life, and all of this is a process. So just to see yourself as static, if you are seeing that, it's an illusion because we are just by default, we're growing. We're in motion. And that is why I'm so obsessed with goal setting. It's like as soon as you have something you want, if you can bring it to your conscious mind, we're already heading toward that thing on a subconscious level. There's also this other element of what we can accept or process on a conscious level. Like this is back to systems theory, but when there is a system in your household that is maintaining a certain set of balances, and one person can't confront certain information or they're just incapable, it means that other people are helping them to deal with things because this one person is like weak in a certain area. So I mentioned anger before. Anger can be vented through other people. And that is why I think a lot of the time people become scapegoats in a family. It's like if there's some topic that can't be confronted, like one person has depression or one person feels like a failure, it's a lot of the anxiety and fear and anger will be vented through one person that becomes the easiest target. They're so intricate. Systems are so intricate. And I'm bringing this like random scenario to mind, but as you will become aware of this concept, I think you will notice it in whatever systems you are a part of. Like unconsciously, other people resist one person in the system changing. And so they're just trying to reinforce what they're used to. And that is the thing that makes them feel in control of, you know, venting whatever things are needed to be vented. So either way, if you are a part of a system that is not enabling you to see the growth in yourself, that is just a sign that you got to create some distance from it so you can continue to grow and see yourself and own that identity. Identities are really, really powerful in how they create our belief systems of the world and everything in it, and what we should be worried about, what we should expect from ourselves, what we should expect from others. They have the ability to also encode how far we reach, what, how confident we are, what behavior we expect from other people. It's super important to be conscious about where you are limited in your own sense of self. I have a lot of echoes of old identities that I'm still like becoming aware of and starting to like work to shed. I mean, most of the time they'll come up in times of fear or ego threat, you know, when you're feeling insecure, when you're feeling like instability in your life. And I just wanted to go into those a little bit just because sometimes you'll hear these voices of old identities and you can kind of trace them, and you can actually identify what self, like what time that voice is from. Sometimes they're very confusing and vague, but they create like ripple effects in our adult lives, in our current day lives. And, you know, oftentimes they were born of a moment in your life where you needed to stay safe. So these are these old selves that learn to survive in very specific ways. Like you might have an old self who had a partnership with a person who maybe made you feel like you are not enough. You know, maybe you had to worry about them being faithful, or it made you feel very insecure about your own merits and your own attractiveness or whatever it is. Like, or for example, let's say if you were abused when you were young, that might make you feel a vague sense of like your attractiveness as one of your only valuable traits. Like all of these things, even if they're from a very long time ago, they become more prominent in how they present in our coping skills, like later on. It could be the total opposite of that, you know? Maybe you had abuse at a young age and it now makes you act out against your body as a means to protect yourself, you know? Because like attention might equal danger. Like these are just random examples, but all of them are just examples of how an experience, no matter how old and frozen in time, they create these belief systems that repeat. And often we see them as truth, but like if we can take them apart, we can identify, we can kind of untangle the nuances in our thoughts and the nuances in our feelings, and we can step out of them because they are no longer current for us. They are no longer true for us as we grow and we build safety and stability for ourselves. And therefore we can move past them. Like they no longer have to guide us unconsciously. I think most important is to notice what comes up when you feel the most primitive or reactive. So like times when you feel triggered, when you feel powerless, when you feel lonely, low, like these are the times when we are reduced to old programming, and that's when they come out the most. When we're really angry, we feel threatened, those types of things. Which brings me to part three, the how, the tools. Before I go into the tools, first a brief word from our sponsors. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's really easy to spread yourself too thin, especially with social gatherings that are picking up again. And I think it's important to tune in and ask what is right for you. And also, tune into how you recharge. Maybe you need some more time alone, or maybe you need a little bit more time with people. It's really about balance. Therapy can give you that self-awareness to help you build the social life that you want and also sustain it and make sure it's not draining you or taking away from your well-being. I have benefited from therapy so much. I think it's really helpful also to understand any conflicts that come about in friendships, see ourselves as individuals in the wake of any kind of conflicts that come up, or help us to grow socially if we're having struggles. If you are thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It's convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/helpmebeme today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/helpmebeme. This episode is brought to you by OneSkin. There's nothing like feeling confident in your own skin, and one of the best products for keeping your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best without a complicated routine, not like a multi-step protocol, is a scientifically validated solution. It is made from a proprietary OS01 peptide. It is the first ingredient that is proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. They have several studies to back it up. I've been using their products for a while, and I think they are fabulous. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and they were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024. For a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase by using the code HELPMEBEME when you check out at oneskin.co. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code HELPMEBEME at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code HELPMEBEME. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. The tools. The first tool is called Take Heart. And this is a brief word of guidance from me to those who are maybe trying to make change and struggling. First of all, take heart. I think change is one of those things that happens in fits and starts. And just like all roads, there are boring plateaus. So if you have a bad day, step back and know that all is not lost. And just come back to your highest intention and know that you mean it, you know? Meaning what you want for yourself when you are safe and grounded and able to reflect, that is the truth. When you are in a safe, balanced emotional state, that is when you know what your truth is. Not when you are in fear or anger or desperation or frustration, and know that you will feel opposite things on opposite days. So just account for that variability, account for the emotional error, I'll call it. And know that change is change, no matter how little. Like, incremental means something. And know that momentum comes as we can see the speed we've picked up. Like, it comes when you see the wake of where you were. That's when we start to feel like, oh yeah, I am strong. I am getting stronger. That's when we allow more in, and that our mass just grows and grows. And know that decisions, the right decisions for you, will not be made from anger or fear. Only when you are in a state of being able to tune into meaning and truth. And that is usually when we are devoid of all of the other, anything that's causing you to flee, you know, push in a different direction. I'm not talking about, you know, actual danger. If you are in actual danger, absolutely decide to flee from in a state of fear. Also, do not make decisions based on other people's advice. It has to also feel true for you. Otherwise, oftentimes we are betraying a part of ourselves. And usually if we are trying to force something, we're really ambivalent, we're going in circles, we're spinning. It's like that thing, mental state where you're trying so hard to solve for something. It's because it's not baked yet. There isn't an answer just yet. And know that if that's the thing that's happening in your body, the first thing we have to do is just step back from the energy of trying to force it. We have to take a break from it and know that the truest answer will be revealed to us when we have solved what it is. It's going to come from a different place. It's not like the thinking, forcing computer kind of brain energy. It's more of a resolute gut knowing energy. And accept that some people in your life just are childish and primitive, and that is true. And we can accept that and see it and move on. It's like, now that you know that, move on. What do you have to do based on that? Now what? We don't have to let that thing be our project or our focus. If this other person has a problem, it is their problem, not yours, unless you allow it to be. And I get it when it's like a parent, it's very, very painful to be in that position. It's almost impossible to stop yourself from desiring unconditional love. But know that when we can give that to ourselves, then we can forgive others and see others in why they are incapable. We can accept them as being incapable. There was a lot of random stuff in my caveats, but hopefully something resonated in your particular situation. All right, next tool, return the hat. If a person in your life is continually putting a particular old hat on you, just be sure and return it and label it specifically. And by that I mean, like, if a person is projecting an old, out-of-date identity upon you, call out the label. Oh, you are doing, you keep giving me this identity. This is no longer current for me. Just hand it back in a non-judgmental way. This is not about coming from anger or antagonizing. It's just calling a very specific name to the inaccurate label so that they can constantly see it again and again. This is like just in service of them starting to break out of the thing that no longer is true. Most important is we have to be above that label and exist on a new plane of energy. And that plane of energy is one that is not affected or pulled down by the label. So any attempts to engage us in this old frequency, they're trying to get us back into the old salsa dance. And that is where they feel comfortable. It's the state of homeostasis. So if you are noticing that, you just step back and you say, oh, you're trying to do this again. I'm not this anymore. And you hand it back. And if you do not dance, if you stop in that moment, they cannot keep dancing the same dance. Little by little, you are creating a wake of difference. Like there's no way for them to continue on the same loop. All right, the next tool is a journal reflection. This is a fun one. It's just to get you to map your trajectory and really watch yourself and see the difference between the self you are today versus the self you were 1 year ago or 2 years ago. So let's do a little journal reflection. And quite literally, what I want you to do is start by listing out everything you did today. If it's the morning, do yesterday. Everything throughout the day. If it makes it meatier, if nothing substantial happened yesterday, maybe do the last 2 days. Whatever it is, just jot down everything that you accomplished, everything that you focused on, all of the things that moved a needle in your life. And once you have that, I want you to look back at exactly 1 year ago or 2 years ago and just see where you were then. See what was kind of focal for you at that time and notice where your intentions were going. And in that comparison, I just want you to make note, this is like an additional journal prompt, what has changed? What can you extrapolate about that change? What can you notice about areas you have developed? And the goal here is not to see ourselves as too slow. I mean, a year goes by like that. This is really just to identify and own these small changes that we actually have made and really just notice that that bar graph is headed up in an upward slope direction. All right, the next tool, belief ripples. So as I mentioned earlier, we have these old beliefs that are created in moments of powerlessness or trauma or emotional impact, I would say. And so this is a tool for when you are in a reactive state or you're experiencing echoes of old pain. And it's a way for us to really see the source of the old pain and kind of, I don't know, pull apart our fabric. As we grow to know ourselves better and identify these old voices, it's like we don't get caught up in them anymore. They become old hat. They become very familiar. So, especially in the case when they are old thought loops that are not current anymore, or they are not really tied to the situation in the present. That happens a lot, I think, when we have really potent old fears that feel very large scale, like the fears of a child. They can guide actions in the present in a way that is not true for you. And you'll be like, I don't know why, but I really feel like I shouldn't do blank. So in those moments, I think it's really helpful to just jot down quite literally, what are the feelings? What are the feelings saying? And I'm just going to give you an example of a couple of mine. This was happening when I was redesigning our home, and it was very stressful. It was very triggering. I had a lot of anxiety in my body. It was so overwhelming. I was redesigning two houses at the same time. It was a lot. So the thoughts were things like, I'm out of control. I am irresponsible. I don't deserve this. And those felt very hot to the touch. They were super big feelings. And I was like, where are these from? These don't feel current. They don't feel like they match with my current identity. So the second part of this journal exercise, once you've written down whatever those feelings are, those thoughts are, what is this the voice of? What time? So this is like a free association prompt, but you will notice that certain things you write in this free association will be a little stickier. Like they'll be like, ooh, that one's got a little energy behind it. For me, it was all of these voices of powerlessness, overwhelm. What were the times in my life where I felt the most overwhelmed, where I had the least amount of weaponry to fight with the really overwhelming situation in my life? And when I didn't have a strong enough ego to stand on, for me, that was like when the most emotional instability was happening during high school, a lot of lack of control. I had an eating disorder I didn't know how to stop. That left the most mark on my identity, was just feeling powerless, completely out of control and powerless. So that is what recurs when I get into a state of overwhelm. It's like, oh, it's this very specific time. This is the voice of my pain from this very specific time. So those are the most helpful moments to really see, oh, you are from this time. Don't worry. I'm not you anymore. This is an opportunity to feel compassion for yourself and calm yourself and reaffirm, don't worry, that's not what's happening right now. All right, the next tool is called See the Truth of My Actions. One thing that I think is really helpful is just looking at your actual calendar. Like, first of all, jotting down or finding a list of your values in your journal, and then looking at your actual calendar and seeing where your time is going. What are you putting emphasis on in the time you spend? And a lot of the time you'll see like, oh, I do value that thing. And if you are not seeing that on your calendar, that is a symptom of not being guided by your value system, being guided by other people's expectations of you. I think a lot of the time we get carried away by what we think we are supposed to do versus what we actually care about. So this is really an accountability exercise. Look at the time spent, maybe the last month, and look at the value system. What do I say is important to me? Am I meeting all of those requirements? If not, gentle tweaks. That's all we're looking for. Adding more emphasis in the coming weeks to the things that you think are genuinely important. All right, the next tool, the Power in Ritual. This is another calendar-based tool. Sorry to have them back to back. I know it's really weird, but like rituals or practices, physical practices, have immense power in how they affect our belief systems and our unconscious. And they also have immense power in just shifting the tectonic plates of the universe. So if you are into this so far, if it's freaking you out, forget it, don't do it. But if you are into this so far, I invite you to put a date on the calendar in the future that has meaning to you as a, let's call it, a future milestone that you are bringing into reality. And then witness, when that time comes, what that truly means. I will do this for myself oftentimes when I have a situation that I need resolution on, or something that I am I have chosen for myself that I want for myself. I'm going to put a date on the calendar, let's say 6 months in the future. This is the day when that thing has to be actualized. Set it on the calendar, give it a specific label that's kind of creative or has resonance for you or meaning for you. And just, it'll become this weird, symbolic, natural event. If that freaks you out, don't do it. But I'm telling you, it has like a very specific effect. It's super powerful. Okay, next tool is called Mirror Sesh. I know this is weird, but I think it's also very fun. If we can't see the change in ourselves and we can't see the progress we have made, a great way to actualize that is to sit with a friend and ask them to mirror back to you, to narrate to you all that you have traveled and changed and accomplished out of your intention and your will in the past year or 2 years. And you can do the same for them. But oftentimes, like, they are pretty insightful in being able to identify you were here and then you wanted this and now you are here. And so this is just like a kind of a little gush sesh to have like some appreciation for yourself. All right, the next tool, this is a set of journal prompts for confirming your identity in a positive way. I would enjoy this one. It's just a check-in more than anything, but I have a couple prompts for that in particular. First one, what do I want to celebrate about where I am right now? Next prompt, what do I want to bring forth in the coming weeks and months? Next prompt, what do I want to protect and honor that is currently working? And I would say this is a super important one, and it is harder for us to gravitate toward when we are more growth oriented. So just don't forget that you're doing a lot right now, and don't throw that away. It's really easy to focus on all the change that's yet to come and like all the stuff we're not doing quite right or the stuff that we wish was different, but like really energetically recognize these are all of the things that I should not take for granted that I'm currently doing right. All right, that's that tool. The next tool is called Recognition Lens. I think it's a helpful exercise to just remember a time when we could see truly our scale and our impact in the world. So just for the sake of renewing our understanding of ourselves and our own power, I just want you to mentally revisit what was a day someone complimented you and saw you and called out to you something that is really amazing and powerful about you. Like a day you were recognized for a particular skill or a gift you created in this world. And if nothing is coming to mind, I invite you to revisit your journal and seek out that entry. And know that whatever memory you figure out, whatever thing you revisit, that exists about you and is true about you all the time. Like, we just don't get access to that info on a daily basis, but the flood of it will come, you know, in a moment, like a wedding speech, for example. Just know that that is always true of you. Like all of the, that whatever the compliment was, that is always true of who you are. All right, the next tool, this is a fun one, I think. It's called Corporate Bull. I'm encouraging you to write some Corporate Bull. This is a spin on the way, you know, I don't know if you ever are on LinkedIn, but there are a lot of people who write very corporate summaries about themselves, and they all kind of sound a little bit generic and like, I basically invented the fucking universe. Like, I want you to write one of these about yourself, like you were a narcissist, writing about all of your incredible accomplishments, not in a LinkedIn profile, in a universe profile. And I would say when we can force ourselves to write in this hyperbolic voice, it's like almost like a mental exercise of standing in a Superman stance. It's a really fun way to, I think it's a good exercise though. It's like, start to write about yourself and think about yourself in that hyperbolic way. And the more we can practice that, the more it becomes natural to us. I'm trying to make us all narcissists. No, I'm not. But it is, I think, helpful. And I think more than anything, we lean in the opposite direction of like, but I'm not that special, but I didn't do that much. So it's like it's a helpful way to start to like really talk about yourself with your loudest, most confident voice. Like you are your mom and your mom is really nice. Like she did all these amazing things. Okay. Next tool is a mantra. I welcome all things to work out without my controlling how. This is like a spin on one of my favorite Al-Anon slogans, which is, if I always got my way, I'd end up being shorthanded. Like, it's true though. If we got to decide our entire life, it would not be a great one, you know? And I think that is especially powerful in the context of change, because a lot of the time we keep ourselves small when we are resistant to, I can't do that though, I can't do this. It's like we're so specific about how something will happen, and it's like, really, that's not our job. Our job is just to let go and accept what is out of our control and just decide what we want, decide what we deserve, and we let the rest go. And I think that is how the most amazing changes come about, is when we let go of how they happen. And especially also when it comes to other people. Like, we don't have to decide how they're going to act. We don't have to decide what they're going to do. We can move on and do us. And that is how the most amazing change happens in somebody else. It's also the best revenge, you know? Feeling great about yourself has the most effect on somebody else if they were trying to keep us small. So if you have done something wrong to somebody, definitely take accountability for that thing, but then move on. Move on and allow yourself to not masturbate in the pain of shame. Like, keep going. I just mimed weird salad eating. I don't know what I was just doing. Anyway, move on and do not decide that you have to know how it's going to happen. It's not your job. So that's the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Before I close, I want to thank all of my latest sponsors. You really help the show happen. If you don't have the means to make a donation, I totally understand. If you could share this with someone you think it could help, that helps me as well. And in closing, I like to think of this earth school we're all in together as like, we're kind of like rats in a maze, and we're all growing smarter through our collective experience of the world. We're all finding our way through the maze of life, and through generations of life experience, we grow all these gifts, we grow all this insight, we grow wiser, more compassionate, more depth as people. And that is just, I think, it's a great gift. It's like we are all connected. We are all sharing this kind of human memory or human experience together. So know that when something resonates, that is because it's true. It's striking a chord because we share that truth. And so lean into those moments. Don't take them for granted. Don't explain them away. If something is ringing a bell, it's because it's true for you. And you can own that about yourself. This is a hippie little thing I wanted to end on, but I wanted to ask you, as the end of this episode, to bring about a feeling in your body. And more than anything, I guess it'll be like a memory of the feeling that will then hopefully conjure it. But it's this feeling of anticipation and excitement for something wonderful that is about to come. And what we are curating in our body is like this like Mona Lisa smile. It's very subtle inner knowing, this feeling of trust and excitement. So maybe relax the belly and put your shoulders back a little bit. And just remember that excitement, that feeling of like, oh, I remember something wonderful is coming my way into my life. Ooh, I'm excited for that thing. If you can just conjure that memory, that is how I would love to leave you. And I send you my love. And don't forget to smile. Thank you.